Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Kneel before your queen and tell me that you'll join me in a fight. Go on, Jon Snow. Go on. Welcome to a quick catch-up on Season 7, Episode 2 of Game of Thrones. I am Howell, very much a Ned Stark character, but with his head. This is Jaime, very much a bastard.
I am a Tyrion Lannister, if ever there was one.
No,
smart,
no,
sassy,
no.
With the ladies,
no,
slightly diminutive.
You haven't got anything, including the hair, similar to him. Anyway, so here we go. Episode 2 of Season 7, Stormborn. This is a spoiler episode. If you haven't watched Game of Thrones, don't bother. In a couple of days, you are going to be able to download us talking about the episode 1 of Vikings. That's on the way. We're sampling Vikings. Should you bother with Vikings? Find out in a couple of days. But right now, Game of Thrones. What did you think, Jamie?
Well, I mean, it's worth saying that they're clearly trying to build. Like, I understand that they're trying to build. That it's a slow build. And episode 2 is very much... There was a lot of padding in episode 2. Like, it continues very much from episode 1. Let's have a look
wow,
at the plot.
Wow, insightful. Right? Insightful. Episode 2 continues on from episode
well,
1.
Well, what I mean is, it feels like episode 1, part 2.
Yeah.
Rather than episode 2, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Let's look at the individual plots that are going bloody nowhere at the moment.
Yeah.
Jon Snow and Sansa. Right, I understand he's about to head off to Dragonstone,
mm-hmm.
and with good reason, great decision, John. But it took a whole episode for him to make the decision to get any, to talk to the group, and then to get on a horse and go.
Yeah,
and it's just like, oh my god! I mean, it is a very, very slow moving plot. That it is literally just. It's just that is just what that plot just had. He makes a decision.
Well,
that's what happened.
Well, the purpose there is showing Sansa's journey through that, though, surely.
It's yeah, I understand, yeah.
The build-up of frustration for her, and she's annoying
exactly.
me more and more. She's annoying me now. Before she was with What's-His-Face, T'other Bastard, who was horrible to her.
Ramsay.
She always annoyed me in the past because she was, like, annoying. Now she's annoying me again. Now I'm thinking, oh... please, just, while she's smart, she's just always made the wrong call for the right reasons, perhaps, but she's always made the wrong call right from when she was a kid, and she's still doing it, and she becomes, up there in the most slappable character list. Who is the most slappable character for you now?
The most slappable character.
Most slappable since Joffrey.
Oh, I mean, it's hard to get past Cersei.
Yeah, but she's not slappable. She's like, she doesn't need a slap. She is what she is, and you've got to take her down. But for me, there's one outshines the others, and that's Littlefinger.
Littlefinger,
oh,
yeah.
Get rid of him. John, slap him. Down,
but you just know that he's going to be there till the bitter end, and he may even get close to like getting some power, because he's got that way. He knows how to play the system. He's like he's basically like Frank Underwood. He's like
he's
like from
but
the
he's
House
less,
of Cards.
But he's not as delicious as Frank Underwood. He's actually a little
turd,
just
a weasel,
little weasel climbing the walls in the corner.
Yeah,
like, Sansa, I believe that we should get married. Shut up.
And even she's just like, just shut the F up.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, I've had enough of it,
Yeah, it's quite interesting that. But then again, now John's going, obviously. What was
exactly.
the point of this long, boring decision-making episode? Well, John's going, she's left in charge. That's going to go wrong.
And also, the problem is, like, it's related to the whole White Walker. Like, their whole plot line is very much around the White Walkers. The big battle that's really what the whole show has been building to. And what, I mean, they showed the White Walkers at the start of episode 1. They're all trudging through the snow.
Yeah.
Or at least they're trudging through kind of like this atmosphere that they're carrying with them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like, it's just taking forever to get to that bit as well. It's like the White Walkers plot that they're all like, oh, we've got to get ready for the war. Well,
plus, you thought, if you're an undead, you don't really need rest. You know, they probably could have made it from Scotland to Yorkshire by now.
I know. I mean, they can move pretty quick. Like, yeah. There's one episode where they're chasing down Hordor and crew. Mm. And they're moving like the wind. They're moving like the absolute bloody wind.
Yeah.
And now they decide to trudge the way along. And so like, they could be there in a few minutes.
Here's what I think's going to happen. We've set up that Sansa's going to be left holding the baby, so to speak. She's going to be struggling. She's telling Littlefinger to shut up. And then Aya's going to turn up. They're going to go, oh my God, it's so good to see you. Aya is going to inject into Sansa. Mm. She's going to back up the worst instincts of let's kill, let's kill, let's crack on.
That's going to be interesting. Like, that is a plot that I'm really going to be... That is... And, like, Arya's plot is actually one of those that's actually more interesting.
Mm.
Like, you know, she decided to go back to Winterfell instead of going after Cersei when she found out that Jon's the King of the North. And then she meets up with her old dire wolf, and there's that crazy moment where, you know, they kind of... Are they going to get the gang back together?
Yeah.
And then the wolf leaves them. And then there's that line that she says, oh, I'm not me. That's what she said, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that the line she says? Because, of course, she's like a faceless. She's one of the faceless now, I guess. Is that what she means by that?
Does she mean
I'm not the same person?
There was a line about... because her dog, a very cute wolf dog, came up.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't sort of recognise her and then wandered off. And she says to the dog, that's not him, right? That's not you. And really, it's like, you're not yourself. She's lost her way. Aya has lost her way and become a kind of non-moral character. It's not going to end well for her unless she sorts herself out.
Yeah, I mean, there's that moment where, like, she realises she, like the dire wolf, is not in the same... They're not the same anymore. They've been changed by their circumstance.
That's right.
Irrevocably. sorry, I've got a cough.
Oh.
And, you know, that plot in general is great. I mean, loving the art. I'm fascinated to see when she gets to Winterfell, because her and Sansa have always had a weird relationship anyway. That plot's moving. Daenerys's plot, if we go to Dragonstone for a second, was going bloody nowhere.
Standing still.
Until the last 10 minutes, when it did develop a little bit into action.
Euron spent a small amount of time. Euron is an evil Jack Sparrow. Very much. They've put a bit of Pirates of Caribbean in here. What else is going on? Oh, my concern last week. So my concern of this series is that the TV writers it's too obviously modern TV. I miss the confusion, the obliqueness of what's his face is right, George Martin's writing.
A
good example was the skin removal scene, right? Disgusting.
I think Sam's plot's quite good, though. I'm enjoying Sam's plot. I'm enjoying Sam's world and his journey into the world of being a maester.
But as a device of making you feel horrible, and I was about to go out for steak, really took the shine off that steak.
Medium rare.
Yeah, big time. That scene was horrible, and we've had lots of horrible scenes in the past. And then at the end of that, they cut to Aya taking a big gulp of soup, or whoever it was, taking a big spoon of soup, right? Remember that transition?
Yeah.
And it's there to make you go, "Bwah!" And I don't remember any such self-conscious moves in the past as that. As going, you know, if you're at a beating someone's head in scene, then cutting to somebody like whacking a blancmange or something. It just feels a bit cheeky. Bit cheeky.
They are definitely showing a little bit more flair with their storytelling. I feel like they've let the reins have been let free. Season 6 was brilliant. I worry that, I think there's a point in there. I worry that with George R. Martin, yes, he takes forever to write anything, but you get the feeling he does that because he really thinks about the meaning behind everything. Even though he kills a lot of people, he does it with substance. He does it with a good reason.
Yeah.
And he actually has thought through the process of the plot and where it's going and the characters. And I do worry now that there are a point where they're so far away from George I don't know if they're putting the same kind of thought process into delivering the story and the journey that they're taking it on. And I am worried a little bit about that. I think there have been moments, even in episode two, that some of the lines of dialogue even bothered me a little bit. Like there's that scene between the two women on the boat who start kissing. I've forgotten the character names.
Yeah.
And there's some really really kind of cringeworthy flirting going on.
I just don't care. I don't care. Mm. And also, you can't watch Game of Thrones during the day. I watched it during the day yesterday. It's so dark that any natural daylight. It's released in summer, but it's too dark to watch any natural light within 5 meters. And it's just, I really don't like criticizing Game of Thrones because I think it's one of the most phenomenal achievements of all time. But episodes like that remind me of the season before last, of season five, that went so slowly that you just went, oh, God, help us out here. Just move it along.
Yeah. And there were some good bits. I mean, this whole plot around the fact that Euron's turned up, he's destroyed the Iron Islands army, their fleet, and he's taken down a portion of Daenerys's, ally. So that is an interesting plot. I'm fascinated. That was great the way they did that. I thought it was really well done. But like you said, you had to watch that with the curtains closed, that's for sure, because it was a very dark, fighty scene.
Yeah, well, that's you're looking forward to. I mean,
also Theon, I thought that was quite well, as a character, of course Theon, he's trying to be brave, he wants to be the strong boy, he wants to look after his sister, but he's got mental scars, he's got a lot of damage and trauma from his experiences, and you could see that look, that flicker in his eyes of where Reek returned.
Yeah, but
I thought that was well done.
Yeah. Well done, but it's going to be interesting to see what part he plays in the end game because of that. I think we've got a nice underdog there.
I agree. I think he's going to be. I think Theon's going to play a massive role in the ending, because why would you keep him alive and why would you keep developing his character so much?
Yeah, and also, to end this, because we need to end this now, just quickly, I want it to surprise me more. I've been rewatching Breaking Bad recently, and it reminds me how much it just, every step of the way, it gives you what you expect. Well, one of the problems with one of these large endgame things is that you can't continue confusing people. You have to start bringing it together. And I feel like I can see a couple of steps ahead. I can see what Sansa's about to do. And it becomes a bit kind of done, already done, and we're doing it again. And I hope that it surprises us. This time next week, I want to have been surprised by episode 3. That's what I'm saying.
Yep, I'd go for that.
studio@theboxsetpod.com. Tell us, are we talking nonsense? Email us. We'll read your email. We'll even reply. studio@theboxsetpod.com. Thank you.